G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, February 10. I'm John Barker. Joining me as usual is Joel Marshall, and we may indeed have a special guest later on in the program, Joel, to celebrate the fact that it's the first Group 1 for 2018 in Australia, and what an intriguing race it is, really. 14 starters, you can make a case for the majority of them.
Yeah, certainly. Very tricky race. And just having a quick look at the Winning Post Tipsters poll, a lot of people are sort of honing in on the same sort of horse. I speak of a mare called Shillelagh. I see a lot of people are honing in on her. She's been a favourite of mine for a while. But as you said, you can make a case for a lot. And we've obviously got some stars resuming: Hartnell, Blackheart, Bart Tosin, Stardom, Brave Smash, Mr. Sneaky, and Throne'em. Well, they've all had the run at the Valley. Will they have the fitness edge on those other big guns? Really tricky race to assess. Especially, a lot of people probably would have gone to Tosin Stardom, but 14 of 14 just, I guess makes the race a bit more wide open.
Yes, and maybe the fact that Brave Smash came out and was unplaced in a race that he was probably expected to win. That might be another reason why people might be shying a little bit away from Tosin Stardom, but interesting to see how that price goes as the race gets closer. Let's, without further ado, although there is great racing in Sydney as well this weekend, but certainly the main meeting is Caulfield, where 8 of the 9 races are at black type level, and the first of those is race 2. It's the Ladbrokes Blue Diamond Prelude for fillies over 1,100 metres, and for reasons that we can never explain adequately, this is a Group 2, whereas the Colts and Geldings is a Group 3. Joel, what did you go for here?
I'm going to give Pure Relation another chance. She burnt me and a few others on debut in the preview. We'd seen two of her in the jump outs and trials, one that had settled nicely and one that had thrown the head about, and unfortunately we saw the latter on debut, and they just went really quick, and she still was fiery. Michael Walker dashed for home early, tried to pinch a winning break, but she just got the staggers late. Bit of a tricky gate. Despite her racing a bit fiercely, Michael Walker came back and said, put the blinkers on. Well, they've gone with winkers, and I think that probably makes a bit more sense. I think she is a talent. I'm just hoping she comes on for that and from that experience. From number 2, Uhud, I think she's the clear danger. She was excellent in the preview, and the extra 100 metres will suit. 7, Seabrook, was good at the Valley back in the spring. No luck, wide throughout, kept finding the line there. And 4, El Nafa, the other McAvoy runner. She was very good on debut. Of course, that lady horse owner form is good, and then she went to the provincials and won well.
Yeah, not afraid to admit that I've got no idea here. We've got 4 last start winners, 3 of them unbeaten. As you say, Pure Relation expected to do a lot better on debut, and several other smart types and a few that we haven't seen. Anyway, I'm going with one of the unbeaten ones, who's had just the one start, in Enbahar. Number 3, Davida Hood. Number 2, 11. One of the first starters, Diamond Reflection, and 1, Crossing the Abbey. Race 3 at Caulfield on Saturday, Ladbrokes Blue Diamond Prelude for Colts and Geldings, only at Group 3 level, but also over 1,100 metres, and just as strong, I would think.
Yeah, look, I found this a bit more difficult to assess. Really interesting now with the presence of Plague Stone, who's been earning rave reviews up in Sydney. He let the team down a bit on debut when beaten as a short price favourite. He just did plenty wrong, but trials before that and trials leading into his return have been excellent. Most were thinking they'd aim towards the slipper, but obviously they've come down here for the diamond. I've got him in for second. I'm going to go with Ollivander, sticking with the Caulfield experience. Very good on debut, and he was excellent in the preview, hampered by a wayward runner on the turn, and still kept coming at long leaf over the final stages. So 2 on top of 6, 8 high ratio. Looks very smart. Mick Price keeps talking him up, and I think he'll run really well. Just the outside gate's a bit of a trick. And 3, Written By. I've got a big opinion of him too. Again, tricky gate, but I've gone with Ollivander, just with a good draw, and he looks pretty safe.
I have fallen into the Sydney Visitor Plague Stone, number 6, to beat Ollivander 2. For 3rd, 5, Native Soldier, and for 1, Run None. And at this point, for 4th, number 1, Run None. Well, at this point, I want to bring in John Hourihan, who has been on the show once before, and garnered rave reviews, I think mainly from friends and relatives. And speaking of friends, that's pretty much your catchphrase, isn't it, John? You've been waving like someone who is caught in a rip down at Portsea.
Yes.
Because you clearly have something to say about race three at Caulfield on Saturday.
Hi, friends. John Hurahan here. Now, look, this is a bit of an omen bet again. I love omens. This is Hinch Riders, the name of the horse. And I don't know if you realise this, friends, but Hinch is about to launch into Victoria, I think, in the next election. So I think, I feel that's an omen. But the main reason I'm backing this is that it had a wonderful, it got out so well last time when it raced somewhere or another, and it actually flew home. If you look at, if you could have a look at the actual race, I think it's a very, very big chance. I wouldn't be bothering backing it for a place because I think it'll win. It's only $51. I usually like it for $100, but that's it.
Right, well, I'll know not to, I'll know to be looking in the other direction next time you're waving your hand there. John, race four at Caulfield on Saturday, Ladbrokes TS Carline Cup. It is a group three over 1,600 metres, and I would have thought Windspill would be one of the better bets, but Galo Chop pretty short here, Joel, and Galo Chop is who you're going for.
Yeah, look, you could probably three main hopes, one, three and four. I've gone Galo Chop. He missed out first up last prep, but that was when he was coming back off that really long spell, and he went on to win second up and then had a really good campaign, matching it with some of the best. I think if he's ready to go, 1600's a winning trip for him first up. I think it'll be very hard to beat. Four Harlem, I think's possibly the main danger. Jump out was okay recently. He returns at Gelding. He was very good first up in the Heatherly in the spring. That was without blinkers. Blinkers are on here. I think he'll be ready to go first up. Three Windspell. Look, he's yet to win in Australia. He certainly runs some good races. And he was very good first up. He'll certainly have probably a bit more dash in the legs than the other two. I just want to see him win, but he's certainly a winning chance. And six Pedrology in for fourth. Him and Seaburge, there was not much between those two first up and probably not much between them again.
Windspell, for me, made him the best on the card. Three to beat five, Seaburge one, Galo Chop two, Lord Fandango. Race five for three-year-old fillies is the Kevin Hayes Stakes at group three level over 1,200, Joel.
Well, most interest sort of centres around these top three at the top of the weights, the three gun fillies. I've gone with number three, Booker. I just think she sets up perfectly for the 1,200 first up. She's been jumping out well. She was excellent. Just touched off by Merchant Navy first up in the spring. She went on to have a good prep. And I just think 1,200 suits her better. Shoals, when she won at 1,200 first up in the spring, it was a very moderate tempo. She was able to really control the speed outside the leader. And I just think maybe this time around Booker will be too good. 4-1 Shoals. She's obviously the Group 1 winner. She'd be giving a stack of weight away if it was a handicap. 9 See Me Exceed. I've thrown in for third. Not sure she was all that happy down the straight. Chasing home Nature Strip, she probably should have won first up, so I can see improvement from her. And then number two, Tulip, dominant jump out winner. Wasn't much behind her in that jump out, but clearly she's a class filly. But no, I'm keen on Booker.
Well, I've gone 1, 2, 3 Shoals, Tulip, Booker, and for four I've thrown in number six, Smart Coupe. Race six is the Schweppes Rubiton Stakes, and with all due respect to the ore, this challenges, I would think, as the race of the day with some of these very, very smart three-year-olds. Returning here, Joel, over 1,100 metres at set weights and penalties.
Yeah, really intriguing race. You know, you really wouldn't be shocked if any of these got up. I've gone with six Merchant Navy. We saw him reach those top heights in the spring. His miss was in the Golden Rose. He didn't have all favours, and then he bounced back with a scintillating win down the straight in the Coolmore. Think he'll be really wound up for this. Obviously, he'll be off to stud, and they'll want to keep this good record intact. So he's on top for me. 8 Ard Rosson, well, seems to be the real spruik horse. 2 for 2 in New Zealand. He looked outstanding in both of those wins. He's been jumping out super. Mick Price has been talking him up, and it's going to be a tough task to go to Rubiton Stakes third start, Oakley Plate fourth start, but that's what they're trying to do. Barrier 8, interesting, but he's got plenty of speed. 5, Canny Essent, I think it's possibly the blowout at the value. He's a good horse, he's won 7 times, just missed behind Haydock down the straight off a bit of a freshen last time in. And 2, Super Cash, well, last 3 wins have been first up Caulfield 1,100, so got to respect her.
Yeah, I'm with Merchant Navy as well for second number 7, Prezzardo, although, you know, I certainly can see that form needs to be tested again. And for third, 8 Ard Rosson, 1 Rich Charm, for fourth. Where are we? We're up to race seven. That's the Highland Race Colours Autumn Stakes for three-year-olds over 1,400 metres at Group 2 level. And we find your value bet comes up here, Joel.
Yeah, well, the Sandown Guineas, when it was run back in the spring, a lot of people were thinking it was a really strong renewal of the race. And we've already seen it be frank to some degree with the outstanding win of Peaceful State just yesterday at Sandown. And I just think the form will continue to hold up from the race. So I'm going Black Sail first up. He wasn't able to win last prep, but boy, he was around the mark, beaten less than a length in I think all of his runs, and didn't have the breaks on several occasions. I thought he was really good leading them up in the Guineas there. He's jumped out well enough, drawn well, Regan Bayless to ride. I like him each way from one Lavendi. I tipped him in the Caulfield Guineas. I think with even luck, he would have gone very close to winning. He obviously got that consolation in the Carbine Club. Has to be respected. Two, Villamont, of course, he won the Sandown Guineas. I think he'll certainly improve as he gets over a bit further, but it's got to be included. And 14, Illumicon, who's a horse that's got stacks of ability. I'm not sure what happened at Mini Valley first up. Jockey and trainer possibly said he didn't handle the valley. He looked a bit plain, but he's much better than that, and I want to keep him very safe. But seven on top each way.
10 on top for me. Scarecrow have been very impressive. In two SA starts this time in. One Lavendi for second, two Villamont for third, and 11 Weapon for fourth. Race eight is the big one. Ladbrokes CFO Stakes, 1,400 metres. Group one, standard weight for age, worth $500,000. And as you spoiled earlier, Joel, Shillelagh popular with both you and me.
Yeah, and a few others too. It's interesting. I think she opened up pretty good odds when they had betting on Noms on Monday, but... Yeah, she's less than double figures and certainly wouldn't want to be coming in any shorter because she's a mare that will improve with a run or two. She hasn't had the best of luck in a couple of her fresh runs in her career, and she's trialled well, she's drawn well, she'll just get a lovely run, and I think she can take the next step this time in, that being taking on all comers. Well, she did that in the spring, of course, but I think she can even reach better heights. So I've gone with her each way from number four, Brave Smash, just hoping he can improve off that valley run. He was a bit keen and raced a little bit upside down. He sort of went forward, and he's used to settling a bit further back. We've sort of probably been waiting for him to get to 1,400 with the way he's finished off some of those 1,200 metre runs. Three Tosin Stardom, as I mentioned, the outside gate's a bit of a trick for him, but I'm sure he'll be pretty wound up, and with a bit of luck, he'll take beating. And one Hartnell, I think I've seen him trial better than he did in Sydney the other day. He was just sort of pushed along a little bit, but of course he was impressive winning first up in the Lawrence in the spring, so he's too good to ignore.
How old is Hartnell now, John? You've got the best bets there. Just flip it back. Keep flipping. Number one. Yeah, there he is.
He would be quite old now. I think he's about... Seven.
Thank you. So no horse over six has won the CFO Stakes since Torbeck in 1983. Of course, Hartnell's... Oh, no, he is seven now because we're into the new year.
Can I just throw one in there, just John? Just
sure.
I do have a feeling that I know his horse has been working brilliantly as I was reading the paper this morning. It's Lord of the Sky. It could win.
Yes.
It'll be in front at some point.
Yeah. That'll run you the good race.
Yes.
Shillelagh for me as well. Very similar numbers, in fact, to Joel. Although I have put in Blackheart Butt for second, number two. I'm sure that, like Hartnell, he possibly is not his very, very best might be behind him. But still, it was a great run in the railway two starts ago, giving them all weight. And then that might have just taken a bit much out of him because then there was a race that appeared to be at his mercy and he failed fairly dismally in. But... Caulfield 1,400 metres is his go. Got Blackheart Barting for second. Brave Smash number four for third. And Hartnell number one for fourth. Race nine at Caulfield on Saturday. The lucky last is the MyPunter.com Belmain Stakes for mares at Group 3 level over 1,200.
I've gone with number six, Just Highfalutin. It's having a bit of a throw at the stumps here, but Enver Yusufovic is flying at the moment. And... when speaking to him about 3 or 4 weeks ago, this was the race he penciled in. He said she was just going so well, he had to have a crack at a better race, and this is that better race. And I think she'll run you a really good race each way. I don't think we've seen her reach her absolute top yet. 8 Fragonard, unbeaten fresh, jumped out well. She's a bit untapped. One silent sedition is obviously the class of the race. She was beaten in it last year, but she'll certainly run well from that inside gate. And four Flying Jest, watch for her to be ducking and weaving and charging home late.
Eight Fragonard for me to beat three Prussian Vixen at $41. Now, speaking of getting reading something in winning post and getting talked into it, Joel, I read your story about Prussian Vixen and was inclined to forgive that spring preparation, but you've left her out of your four.
Oh, I nearly found a spot in her for me four. Yeah, look, it's a really interesting story if your listeners want to read it.
One page 102, this week's winning post, only $5.
Yeah, she's had a couple of bad preps. Trainer Michael Mahagan thinks it's just the time of year, and hopefully this is her time of year because we've seen her perform. Obviously, she won this race last year. Just being first up at 1200, she's a little bit of a concern because she's usually at her best with a run or two, but hopefully she can come back in good order for the stable.
And while you're on that page 102, there's a very good story about Gary Portelli written by Matt Stewart. We've also got, of course, Shane Templeton this week. And if you want to know what Richo did on his holidays, turn to page 100. You will not be disappointed. Fragonard, yeah, Prussian Vixen. Did I say flippant for third and high, just highfalutin for fourth? That's 8, 3, 5 and 6. My best was Windspell, race 4, number 3. My value bet was Shillelagh. Probably $9, probably not huge value in that field anymore. Race 8, number 11. Joel, your best was race 5, number 3, Booker, and your value bet race 7, number 7, Black Sail. Do you have any further and better particulars for us, John, at Caulfield before we switch?
No, finished. But I'd like to go in first at Rose Hill, if that's okay.
First at Rose Hill because they're racing at Warwick Farm on Saturday, Joel.
Oh, sorry, Warwick Farm.
It's not a bad meeting there, too.
Just around the corner. But I've got one really brilliant bet there. It's Try a Little Harder. I think it's a big, big chance. It's really, really going to go. It'll win, actually. Now, I've got to go because I've got to go out and clean a few keyboards and things like that. I'm doing the keyboards today, John. So.
Okay.
Anyway, friends, I'm off. But always remember, I heard this the other day. I think you'll like it. When poverty comes in the door, love flies out the window. This is not to say that these are my tips that's going to cause all this, but it's a good saying, isn't it, John? Don't you think?
I think I need to give it a bit more thought. I think you need to try a little harder.
Try a little harder. Okay, friends. I'll be seeing you next week, perhaps.
All right. Now, if you are interested, listeners, that was race 4, number 12. It is the TAB Highway Handicap. So, and in fact, it's very well fancied. Coming into it on a hat-trick after two starts for two wins, this prep, $5.50. Barrier 16 at Warwick Farm, 1200. How do they go from there, John?
Well, that'd be a bit of a trick, but and that's what put me off having it in my four. But as you said, it's in good form.
All right, the first of the stakes races at Warwick Farm on Saturday is race one. The Thoroughbred Breeders New South Wales Lonro Plate, 1100 metres for two-year-olds at listed level.
Going with one Satin Slipper, we saw her come from off the speed and win the gym crack superbly. Three subsequent stakes winners have come out of that race, so I think we can trust the form, and she's trialled well. So she's the obvious from 8 Oxford Tycoons. Come up short, well found in the betting, but trials have been good. 6 Phoneme was good on debut at the Valley, and 4 Osorno. Muddling run race, probably didn't play into his hands first up, but he ran well.
Wouldn't number 6 be Phoneme?
It is Phoneme, apparently. Phoneme is... I didn't even know what a Phoneme was. I had to Google search it, but... it's difficult to explain what a phoneme is if you don't know it, but Google it. It is, and it's phoneme.
Alrighty, well, race 5 is not officially a listed race, but it is a restricted listed race. It's the Inglis Classic, over 1,200 metres. This is the richest race on the program, 250,000, and the Inglis Sales Company are doing a lot of work and partnering around there at Warwick Farm. There's a few promising types to go around there, Joel.
Yes, there are. Way a million miles away. What race did you...
Race 5, race Inglis Classic.
Oh, you jumped the Inglis Sprint. I was half thinking it was going to be the Inglis Sprint. Of course, we've seen Nature Shoot come out of that race, and She Will Reign will be very, very short. So probably not much of a betting race, but it really looks hers to lose now. Limbo Soul may be the Quinella for that race, but the Inglis Classic... Bjorn Baker's got a couple in this race. Barrier has swung me towards the first starter, which is Ballistica, and a lot of people are going to be in that camp because he's been trialling really well. So he's on top for me. But number 8, Tar Shan Son at the odds, I might have a little something on. I thought there was excuses for his debut, and I thought he ran okay. But again, yeah, tricky gates. Just going to mean he needs some luck again. One Sanctimonious. Was good at Moonee Valley. I think he's going to be looking for further than 1,200 very soon, but he'll certainly be thereabouts. And six, Pembroke Castle. Trialled, I think it was on the Tuesday, and then debuted on the Saturday. And sometimes they can go a bit, come a bit unstuck when they try and do that. And she was just okay. I'd expect a bit of improvement there.
Race six, first leg of the Quaddie at Warwick Farm on Saturday, and first of the group races is the Aquis Farm Eskimo Prince Stakes over 1,200 for three-year-olds, Group 3.
Four, Kementari on top. Very talented colt, as we know. Wasn't able to win in the spring, but ran some good races, including in the Caulfield Guineas. He was excellent in that race when second, and then missed out down the straight when they tried to freshen up back to the 1,200. Trialled superbly, as he usually does. I think he can resume with a win from two, Goodfella, who I was giving a chance against the older horses last week. They scratched, saved for this race. Six, Brave Song, both wins this time in have been good. And three, Siege of Quebec. Well, took heaps of riding from Brendan Abdullah to get this home first up. On the evidence of that, I think he's going to be looking for Werther very shortly. So that's why I'm just risking him a little bit on Saturday, but he is obviously a talent.
And the main race at Warwick Farm on Saturday is race seven, the Yarraman Park Breeders Classic. And on the front of Winning Post in New South Wales this week is your selection, Egyptian Symbol.
Yeah, she's a really talented mare and well suited under these conditions. She was beaten in this last year, but that was by In Her Time, which of course she went on to really frank that form. She's one of the better sprinters in the land, and she was good first up, Egyptian Symbol, went up to the Gold Coast and wasn't disgraced there, running third in the sprint behind Vidora. So pretty keen on her. From number seven, Far Away Town, I think she's the clear danger. She was excellent first up. She needed that win. It was only her second in her career. She's obviously largely been contesting black type races, and she needed that as a confidence booster. I think she can measure up to this tougher company. Four, Bonnie O'Reilly, and three, Danish Twist, next best.
And your value and best bets come up in two of the races we haven't covered. That's races 8 and 9.
Yeah, well, disappointing for a value bet, race 8, number 6, More to Gain. I think he's into around $5, not much value, and there's only 7 runners now, so I probably should have thought a bit harder about that. But I think he'll run well first up. 1,600, obviously, it's a bit of a test, but he carried big weights last preparation. Both runs were excellent. He gets into this with 53. I think it's a very winnable race. Obviously, Show a Star will be hard to beat with the fitness edge. But really keen in the last, Echo Effect, and he's still valued around $7, but I was so keen on him, I made him my best. He's a horse that has a habit of going really hard in his races. As soon as I saw him trial last week, I thought, I really hope they put him in a 1,000-metre race first up, and it's exactly what they've done 8 days after the trial. Good speed. He'll just hopefully settle well off that and come storming home, and I think he'll win at good odds.
Racing on the Parks track at Morfordville on Saturday, James Jordan likes race 1, number 1, Bondiga. He's expecting the stablemate Andrea Mantegna to be scratched in order to run in the Hobart Cup on Sunday. And that being the case, I don't think there'll be any great flash price about Bondiga, but you can build a bank for later in the day where you'll be backing race 6, number 1, Unbreakable. And race 8, number 6, Misidentified. Boombin, as usual, is the Saturday venue in Queensland, in Metro Queensland, and massive fields after last week's semi-washout, including race 9, a class 3 plate with 16 runners and 8 emergencies. So I'm sure you found some value for us here, John.
Yeah, very tough meeting. Hopefully we'll get the cash early with my best, Get on the Grange, race 1, number 2. His three runs this time in have been Sydney have been excellent, racing over distances that have been a bit short of his best, but he's going super. He just looks ready to win, and 2,200 metres at this track looks ideal. He's unbeaten in two goes at the venue, and I made my value, race 5, number 10, Van Winkle. It's a difficult race. I think another dollar is clearly over the odds and very hard to beat. Epic Grant's come up very short in that race, but Van Winkle is a Rockhampton visitor. He was unlucky not to break his maiden earlier this time in. He had a couple of unlucky runs, but they went forward. Well, he's been going forward, but taking a sit. But he led last start, and they made a good thing of it, and he won impressively. I think if they go forward and find the front, he'll give them a bit to run down at good odds. Van Winkle in race 5. And just back to Morfordville, I did like one there. I've made my roughie in the Winning Post. Race 7, number 9, Callisto Girl at about $18. She's a lightly raced mare, won 2 from 5. She caught my eye at the trials at Morfordville recently. Was eyeballed in the lead and battled on really well. Ran third behind Benz and Resiz, two open class, stakes class sprinters even. I think that'll hold up well for a benchmark 70 on Saturday.
It's Magic Millions Day in WA on Saturday. That means that they are racing at Pinjarra, so that gets us a good look. Makes a change from Ascot. We do have the straight 1,000 metres in the last race. The main races are the two-year-old Classic worth $250,000, and there BJ Ryan likes number four, Kiss the Breeze, highly rated undefeated filly, race six, number four. And in the Magic Millions three-year-old trophy, BJ likes, that's race seven, he likes number two, Epic Grey. BJ's best, race four, number nine, Oliver's Travels, his value bet, race eight, number one, Roger the Roman. Earlier in the day, we have Group 1 action at Tarapa in Hamilton, New Zealand, in the heart of the Waikato. And this is called something different every year. This year is the BCD Group Sprint, weight for age 1400.
Yeah, we've got that. Is race eight, and Kawi will be a dominant favourite. He's going for his eighth Group 1, which will equal, I think it's the record, will certainly equal the 8-1 by Mufasa. He was freshened up back to the 1200 in the Telegraph. Outstanding effort, running very good late sectionals and just missing the win. I think he'll be winning on Saturday, though. The other feature is the Herbie Dyke Stakes Group 1. This is over the 2,000 metres. And again, I think the favourite's the one to beat. I've gone all mares in my picks, but seven, Lizzie L'Amour, very hard to beat. She was excellent at Ellerslie. Nicoletta, Devise and Savvy Dreams were the other mares that I thought you'd probably box them up and not be far wrong. Made my best one in the last race. It's a benchmark 65, and this is a maiden, number 15, Bel Ragazzo. He is nominated for the Derby. I think he gets into a pretty winnable race against these older horses. He's been hitting the line really well. He'll lap up 2100, I reckon, and he should be able to settle closer from a good draw. I think he can be very, very hard to beat. And my value is Our Aberdeen, race 5, number 8. She trialled well this leading into this prep. She was good first up, had heart fibrillation, or atrial fibrillation second up, and then never got into the race at Ellerslie last start. All her best form is left-handed going, which is obviously what she'll get at Tarapa, and I think she's a big improver each way. Rickett in the other meeting, my best is Green Park Gem, race 7, number 8, and my value, Smokehouse Bay, race 8, number 16.
All right, well, aside from the Saturday action, there's plenty of value in your winning post from Friday right through to Sunday, including on Friday and Sunday, the Hobart Carnival. We've got fields, tips, overviews, colours for Friday's racing. The Tasmanian Derby is on race 6, and there's a couple of D Weir runners as well as a Busset and Young Invader. But Adam Williams is going for one of the locals in Penstock, who was a bit unlucky running on in the Hobart Guineas. Looked as though the 2200 would suit. The Bow Mistress is a Group 3 race. That's, I guess, technically the main race on the day, race 7. And here, the Scott Brunton train local, despite barrier 10, number 4, Life on the Wire, does look particularly hard to beat. Adam and I in agreement there. Sunday's racing, plenty of good races. There's the Elwick Stakes, the Thomas Lyons, the Strut Stakes, but the main race is the Hobart Cup. And once again, Adam is going for a local, despite the presence of Weir, Waterhouse Bot and McDonald Glyas. He's going for one to knock all those off in EastEnder, who's coming off a win in a quality handicap over 2100, I think, in Hobart. Step up to 2400, looks likely to suit. Very lightly raced campaigner, and certainly is being respected in the markets. That is race 8, number 8, EastEnder, at around about $4.80. So that wraps up a massive weekend of racing around Australia. Joel, I might play it safe. I think I went down last week after a first up success, but I'll be bouncing back this time, I believe. Race 4, number 3 at Caulfield on Saturday. Wind spell, you?
Wait for the very last at Warwick Farm. Race 9, number 6, Echo Effect.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners, and we'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.